Our first reading for this festival of the resurrection of our Lord, Easter Dawn, is found in the book of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 12. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. In that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust him and will not be afraid, because the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Declare among the peoples what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done amazing things. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, daughter of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you. The word of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
They were never so happy to see a raging sea. Moments before, a wide highway had cut its way from shore to shore through the Red Sea. The ground beneath their feet had remained dry while they and millions of loved ones and all of their livestock to try to hurry across the sea to where they now stood. A giant pillar of fire and cloud towering up to the heavens had closed off their entrance after the last of the Israelites passed by. Why? That pillar of fire and cloud was holding off the charioteers of furious Pharaoh's army, who was hell-bent on hunting down these escaped slaves and destroying them out there in the wilderness after their God had ruined the land of Egypt. As the last of the Israelites made their way to the far shore, they looked back in horror to see that Egyptian army suddenly pass by and come rushing towards them, but that army didn't get too far. Dry ground melted into soft, thick, soupy mud. Chariots and horses sank into the muck. Wheels fell off. Legs sunk into the ground. And once the last Israelite stepped onto the far shore, Moses raised his hand and towers of water came crashing down. The sea collapsed on itself. With towering seas crashing down upon them, the Egyptian soldiers looked up in horror. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then they were no more. God's people were never so happy to see a roiling, raging sea. The God of free and faithful grace had delivered his people once again from the Egyptians with his mighty arm and his holy hand. And all that the people could do was rejoice. All they could do was sing, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation." All they could do was celebrate. Rejoice. The time for sorrow and grief, the time for fear and tears was over. It was time to rejoice. Yet that joy of the Israelites would not last. Yes, they would remember and celebrate God's great deliverance at the Red Sea for centuries, but their joy would not last. You see, they celebrated an earthly deliverance. In time, that joy would turn back to grumbling and complaint. In time, that joy would turn back to tears and sorrow. In time, that joy would turn back to anger and fear, to anxiety and grief. That time to rejoice would only be momentary. Life would have its share of joyful moments, but so much of life would be gray and dark and sad. Do you ever find that happening to you? You have a moment of joy. Joy in a new life, a new relationship, a new home, a new job, joy in work well done or work richly blessed. Joy in a shared experience with others or in the accomplishment of loved ones. Joy in life's little moments. That moment is a time to rejoice, but on this side of heaven, those times of earthly celebration, of earthly joy, they always fade. Hardship, sorrow, grief, fear, anxiety, darkness, death, all fill too many moments of this life. Why is that? Why can't life just be a continual progression of up and up and up, of joy after joy after joy, celebration upon celebration? I mean, why does every up have to have a down, maybe even sometimes a really big, deep down? Why does life seem so often more like a death march under the cross than a triumphal victory parade towards heaven? The answer is sin. The reality of sin. We all bear it. We all possess it. Sin flows through our veins and wraps itself around our DNA. Sin corrupts every word, every thought, every action. Sin causes hurt feelings, broken relationships, heartache, worry, hardship, and fear. Behind every time of crying, every time of sadness, every time of anxiety and sorrow, every time of heartache or fear, behind every one of those times is sin. And that sin angers God. That sin angers God because we gleefully and willingly embrace it. In fact, God has every right to be angry with us. God has every right to abandon us to our own selfish, sinful selves, to forsake us to eternal darkness and an eternal time of weeping. We stop and think about it. We rightly fear what our sins have done and the judgment we deserve. Such righteous anger from our God requires a payment, and that payment is death. The wages of sin is death. Yet what of today? Well, it may be a little gloomy outside. It is certainly not gloomy in here. The songs we sang are certainly not gloomy by any stretch of the imagination. Like the Israelites of old, we stare and wonder not at what we deserve, but what our God has done in his gracious mercy. On Friday, we saw a bloody and battered Savior hanging, dying on a cross, and the tears flow at such a sight. Our guilt is the reason he was suffering there. Our guilt is the reason he was hanging on that tree, and he died the death we deserve for our sins. His body was placed in the tomb that all of us have rightfully earned. Our sorrow could have no end over what our sins did to Christ. But the time for weeping, the time for crying has come to an end. The time of sorrow is over. The time to rejoice has come. Why? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
With hope in the living Savior, the ancient prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, looked ahead to the one event in human history that brings joy that has no end. I will give thanks to you, Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust him and will not be afraid, because the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Using songs, ancient songs once sung on the Red Sea shore, Isaiah praises the God of free and faithful grace, who comes not to be our judge, but to be our comforter. The God of free and faithful grace who comes to save his people. He looks with hope to that God of free and faithful grace. He sings of that God of free and faithful grace who reconciles us to himself by making us at one with God through the resurrection of the Messiah. But that song isn't just Isaiah's song. Now that song is ours. It's no longer a song of hope looking forward to the dim future. No, this song of salvation's joy is based in the reality of what Christ has done. By rising from the dead, Jesus has become our salvation. By rising from the dead, Jesus proved that he has made the full payment for all of our sins, every last one. By rising from the dead, Jesus came to dry our tears and take away our fears, to end this time of sorrow and restore the joy of our salvation. This is no earthly deliverance that we celebrate, a moment of joy that will fade back into darkness and woe. No, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Because Christ has risen, we can trust and not be afraid. We can begin each new day with confidence that no matter how it goes, or what happens, or what our minds might tell us, Jesus lives, and because he lives, we will too. Because Christ has risen, he dries our tears as our living Savior. as our Redeemer, who we will see with our own eyes one day, as the Holy One of Israel, who will be our source of joy forever. And so that resurrection joy, it just bursts forth, unrestrained, uninterrupted, from our hearts, out into our lives. That resurrection joy constantly bubbles forth like from a spring that never ends. With joy, we draw water from the wells of salvation, Isaiah tells us. Jesus is that well of living water. Jesus provides us with salvation, with forgiveness, and with joy. And so we can be absolutely confident of that when we're confronted with temptation, when we're feeling the heat of pressure or persecution, or even when we're staring the reality of death in the face. Why? Christ is risen. So, dear friends, you don't see a raging sea right now. You see an empty tomb, and there is no tomb more beautiful. It's time to rejoice. And so what will you do with that joy? You give thanks to the Lord. You live each day as a new opportunity to give thanks to our risen Lord. You proclaim his name. You declare among the peoples what he has done. You proclaim that his name is exalted. You go and you tell everyone, everyone you know, what he has done for you. Because if the reality of Christ's resurrection has changed your life, he will change and can change their life too. You sing to the Lord, for he has done amazing things. And so we let this be known in all the earth. We shout aloud and sing for joy, for the Holy One of Israel is great among you. With every last fiber of your being, you proclaim the great things our God has done. Christ is the death of your death. Christ is the sting against hell and all that it threatens. Christ is the resurrection and the life. Christ is your life. Christ is the forgiveness of your sins. Christ is your salvation. The tomb is empty. Rejoice in that fact and live each day as a new celebration of Christ's Easter miracle. With Christians of every age and nation, we rejoice in this reality. Christ is risen.
Amen.